Amen. Anybody need any personal ministry tonight? Anybody need a word, personal prayer? If not, we'll just move on. Don't make anything up. But if you need something, if you walked in and had something, you won't leave here like you came, in Jesus' name. All right, then. How wonderful. How wonderful, how wonderful. I was strolling back there and looking at what we have back there. And we have all fried chicken, pastries, different types of bread, rolls. Miller, we've got to get just a few of those plums and whatever those are. Oh, they look so good. Oh, man. Yeah. You know, last week we had some strawberries that were really good, huh? Oh, yeah. But we welcome you here to church tonight. We thank everybody that works on our food programs, the various ones that we have. God bless you. We couldn't do it without you. We love you, and we thank you for your help. We know it's a sacrifice. We understand that. And just thank you. We just want you to know that. Jilla, you doing good? Is your fam doing good? Good. Everybody's fam doing good? Is your dad doing good? You know, now I know who you are and who your dad is. I mean, I've known your dad forever. Man, yeah. I've known Bill, right? Bill Lewis. Yeah, I've known him forever. What a great, you got a great dad. I just love him. He's a good guy. You know, if you would take your Bibles, and we're going to turn to the book of Micah. It's not one of my most visited books, but I'm going to share a word out of the book of Micah. God's three things. There are three things in the Bible. They're all through the Bible, but this is just a wonderful place that they're at. And it's in Micah chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. And we've got it in the NLT. What can we bring to the Lord? See, you know, what a great question. What in the world is all of these churches? There's like 40 or 50 denominations in America. What's that all about? Some go a little bit this way. Some go a little bit that way. What is it all about? All these different... What's happening? And what can we bring to the Lord? What a great question. I've been in churches, and they had a certain creed they wanted me to be a part of. You know, they have a creed. A lot of times it has something to do with alcoholism or this or that. And none of those things are bad, but this is what's in the Word. This is God's creed. And the three things we're going to talk about tonight are found throughout the Old and the New Testament, over and over and over. Should we bring him burnt offerings? Should we bow before God Most High with offerings of yearling calves? Should we offer him thousands of rams and 10,000s of rivers of olive oil? Should we sacrifice our firstborn children to pay for our sins? See, no. O people, the Lord has told you what is good. And this is what he requires of you. To do what's right, number one. To love mercy, number two. And to walk humbly before God. And I have problems with all three of those things at times. I found that I can go farther with God by telling the truth than trying to cover things up. You confuse yourself. The Bible says that in the last days, that people would go about deceiving others and deceiving themselves. And it's really bad when you deceive yourself. Then you're really, you don't know if you're up or you're down or you're in or you're out. I'm gonna read that in the King James at verse 8. That is right before Nahum. Do you have the King James of that verse, verse 8 up there? Can you give me that in the King James? Chronicles. Samuel. Okay. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Those are three beautiful, beautiful things. They're found, honest to goodness, and they're many times put together, those three, all through both New Testaments. And those are the three things that we're talking about. To do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God. And so let's just talk about that for the next few minutes here. If you would, give me Proverbs chapter 21, verse 3 in the New Living Translation. And I've divided this into the three topics: to do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly. The first one I'm going to look at is to do justly. The Lord is more pleased when we do what is right and just than when we offer him sacrifices. When we do what is right and just. And you can think of it this way: just do the right thing. Just try to do the right thing. What is right? I believe we all have a pretty, it's not hard to figure out what's right and what's wrong. No, you know when you're doing something that you shouldn't be doing, especially to somebody else, you know. And you know when you're doing something that's good. When you're doing something that's just, fair, and just. There's always somebody trying to get over on us, it seems like. I like what they do. These telemarketers, they shoot off of canceled telephone numbers. They just shoot off them. How do they? By the brilliance of modern technology, they can do that. And I try not to. I try to just message them when I see something that I don't think that is real. I just message them. Can I call you later? And they never call back because they're not on a line that they can call back on. Sometimes I just like to answer them. And I tell them, you know, I can tell you're in a call center. And I can tell you're not in America. And there's just one piece of the puzzle that's missing. I'm on the do not call list. And a lot of times when I just say, I can tell you're in a call center, they'll hang up right away. But it's just a waste of your time because you know why they do that? Somebody is answering them calls and partaking in their financial nonsense. She does. I think old people, they get scammed or they get mean like me. I just say, you know, I know this is a call center. I can hear all your compadres there. I said, I just want to know, are you in India or the Philippines? Because it's one or the other. But bless God. But to do right. You know, there's certain jobs I would never have. And that would be one of them. Trying to mess with somebody. Trying to deceive somebody into hearing your scam, your spiel, that maybe at the end you could sell them something that they can't use. Go with me to Romans chapter 13, verses 6 through 10. And we're still on doing justly. And here's what the word says in Romans. Pay your taxes too for these same reasons. For government workers need to be paid. They are serving God in what they do. Give to everyone what you owe them. Pay your taxes and government fees to those who collect them. And give respect and honor to those who are in authority. One of the all-time great stories I heard, testimony, is a pastor, a preacher, was in a barber shop, and he had his car parked out in front. And he kept looking and watching. He had a coin in his hand. He kept looking and watching in case a cop came by so we could quickly throw that coin in there so he wouldn't get a ticket. But he wasn't just going to put it in there. You know, here's some Shakespeare that I always like to quote. To thine own self be true. Man, you should try to be from the inside out. You know, there's things that I really don't want to be a part of. And then there's other things that I do that are very wrong at times, and they don't help me either. But owe nothing to anyone. Owe no man nothing except for this. Your obligation. See, this is doing right still. Your obligation to love one another. If you love your neighbor, you will fulfill the requirements of God's law. For the commandments say, you must not commit adultery, you must not murder, you must not steal, you must not covet. These and other such commandments are summed up in this one commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to others. So love fulfills the requirement of God's law. All of these, they go back to love. Now, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, these three remain. Faith, love, and hope. And the greatest of these is love. There's nothing greater than love. If we say that we love God, but we're rough on people, well, that can be questionable at times then. So we want to try to be honorable. All of these things, to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God, they all have to do with love, which is the greatest thing. If you can just be full of love. Petula Clark sang years ago, won my heart, what the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. Amen. Some of you said, man, I never heard that before. Well, that was before some of you was even born. But anyhow, so that's what the word says, to do right. To do right. Okay, let's move on to the next thing, because we will get out of here by 8, probably before. The next thing, Micah 6, 8 says, the first thing is to do justly. The second thing is to love mercy. And you know, I have to tell myself and prepare myself in the morning, say, God, help me to show mercy to somebody today. Because I'm always looking for mercy. But I feel like I have a deficit that sometimes I haven't given as much mercy as I would like to receive. And I've received a lot of mercy. A lot of people have let me slide from some things. So put up first Luke chapter 6 and verse 36 in the King James Version of the Bible, and we're on the second topic of mercy. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. That's a pretty good reason. We're supposed to be a chip off the old block. And if others are merciful, if God is merciful, and shows us mercy, how much the more that we should be merciful to others and try not to be contrary, but to be merciful. Sometimes to be merciful is just to, I try to make sure that I say hi to everybody when I'm in church. I don't want anybody to think that I think I'm too good to say hi to anybody, because I'm not. I say hi to anybody and pray. I try to ask many, many people, you need any prayer? That's one of my favorite questions to ask in my life. And be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. See, imitate him. Be imitators of Christ. Put up Matthew 5:7, King James Version. We're still on love mercy. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Kind of reminds me of that verse in Mark chapter 11, verse 25, I believe, that says this. Oh, and when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against anybody, so that your Father in heaven will forgive you. But if you won't forgive, God doesn't say that he can't forgive. He says, if you won't forgive, he will not forgive you. You know, see this cross up here? This cross is about one thing. Tremendous mercy. Tremendous mercy. I'll tell you what. God himself has given us the lead and shown us the example of what it means to walk justly, to be merciful, and to walk humbly. God is that. Jesus walked like that. Jesus showed us how to be like that. Blessed are the merciful. You know, I think in most days, I can find somewhere to show mercy to somebody somehow, to make somebody not feel bad about themselves. You ever notice some people, you can just tell they don't feel good about themselves? We could shake their hand. We could speak just a word of kindness or a smile. We could ask them, could I pray about anything? How's things going? How's your sick loved one? How's this? How's that? And just show that you care. And I think it's the essence of being a child of God, is to do what's right justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly. Now, I hope nobody feels cheated. But once again, we're on God's three things, we're on the third thing. It is to walk humbly with God. And give me, in the sound booth, you're doing so good tonight. Thank you. Luke chapter 14, verses 8 through 11, in the New Living Translation, to walk humbly with God. And here's, I mean, there's so many examples, and so many good examples. I just had to pick something. The scriptures is just full of these three things. It says this, these are the words of Jesus himself. When you are invited to a wedding feast, don't sit in the seat of honor. What if someone who is more distinguished than you has also been invited? The host will come and say, give this person your seat. Then you will be embarrassed, and you will have to take whatsoever seat is left at the foot of the table. Instead, and I try to practice this, take the lowest place at the foot of the table. Then when your host sees you, he will come and say, friend, we have a better place for you. Then you will be honored in front of all the other guests, for those who exalt themselves, I know this is true because I spent too much time exalting myself at times. Those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. I found that to be true in life. How about you? Think about it. Finally, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5 in the King James translation. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed. What a beautiful way to put that. Be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace unto the humble. What do you think the essence of humility is? Is it just walking with your head down, and is it a certain way you can portray your face? No, I think it's deeper than that. I think it's an attitude of the heart to be humble, to just be humble, to just consider others better than yourself. And, well, what if nobody sees it? Well, frankly, my dear, God sees everything. Everything. The good, the bad, and the ugly that we do in this life. And he still loves us. He's still our forgiver. And he still says, and the essence of this word that Christ spoke, he said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. You're going to have to leave me because I'm not going to leave you. Well, what if I sin? Still not going to leave you. What if I sin a lot? I'm still not going to leave you. What I'm going to do, those that I love, I correct. I discipline them. I might correct you, but I'm not going to leave you. I started something with you, and as far as I'm concerned, he says to us, we're going to finish what we started. I don't believe it's easy to lose salvation. I think you basically just have to say, I just don't want you anymore, God. I think even if you say that, I remember watching recently the movie The Yearling, probably about 1930-ish, 40-ish. And the boy had a little deer, and it got to ruining the farm, eating everything that was meant for the people. And the boy took that deer and took it as far away from the house as he could, and it came back. And finally the dad said, you're going to have to put that deer down. And the boy did that. He didn't want to. And he was very unhappy, very, very brokenhearted over the whole thing. And he ran away from home. But before he ran away, he said, Dad, I hate you. I hate you. You know, I've done a lot of bad things. But telling people that I hate them, there's just something awful about saying that. I haven't said that much, but I've said it some. And when that boy came back, he was haggard and hungry. And his dad was so happy to see him. And he said, Dad, I didn't mean that. I didn't mean that when I said I hated you. And the dad said, son, I know you didn't. And that was pretty close to the end of the film. That was when almost every film had a meaning to it. That was something good. Not that all of them are bad. No, I'm not saying that. You know, tonight perhaps when you spend your moment of examination, self-examination, let a person examine themselves and then let them eat that bread and then let them drink of that cup. For a person, if they would judge themselves, they would not have to be judged by God. But when they're judged of God, this is King James language, it's so that God can save them. If God corrects you now, that's a sign that you're not going to have to be. And I'm just asking you, I think it's a good point, that in just a moment, when we examine our hearts to take communion, if there's ever a time that you can think of that you said something to somebody that was very wrong and you knew it and it's been bothering you, it might be a good time to say, Father in heaven, I didn't mean that. I'm going to ask you if you take, make an altar. That's what most people like to do. You can surely join me up here, and we're going to examine our hearts.